Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation. This is Ham Nation, episode number 361 for August 1st, 2018. Tonight, hams, young and old.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome. You're tuned to Ham Nation, and it's going to be just a real monster show tonight, so get set. Pay a little bit of attention, because we might take notes afterwards. My name is Bob Heil, K9EID, and I'm in the Ozarks. A little bit above above Springfield and Pleasant Hope, out in the country though, and we have some really great guests. First of all, Valerie is here tonight, but she's in a special place. Did you leave all of us and you joined a TV crew? What are you doing?
Yeah, this is the wacky news team here at KFOR here in Oklahoma City, bringing you up to date on the current events.
Uh huh. Yeah,
we were at a ham fest here, and we had a blast. And Leah and Donald showed us around, and Donald's actually the chief engineer here, so we thought, hey, let's do the show from Channel 4.
All right, I appreciate the fact that you're using PR40s, by the way.
Yeah, that's
and you have a guest with you tonight. Yeah, Tim Duffy's going to be with you. And Tim, everything okay out there in Pennsylvania on the big station?
Everything is good here at K3LR. All the chairs are ready for operators.
Okay, great. And, of course, Don is here. Don, how are you doing? Don Wilbanks.
Hey, I am great. We've got a big show tonight. In addition to the live remote from Oklahoma City at KFOR and Tim here, we also have... hopefully tonight, if the Skype gods shine down their continents upon us or incontinence upon us, as the case may be, we'll have Bryant Rascal, KG5HVO, who is the Newsline Young Ham of the Year for 2018. And, of course, you can hear us all on WTWW 5085 and 15.810. There's some big things going on at WTWW. Let me tell you about it real quick. After the ham radio programming, some of the biggest names ever to hit the AM radio broadcast airwaves are back on WTWW, like Big Jim Edwards. Used to hear, he was Jim Davis. He was one of the voices of Newsline. He'll be on tonight after Ham Nation, as a matter of fact. Grant Hudson, Jeff Lawrence, Steve Taylor, Steve Hunter, Ted Randall, who worked in AM broadcast radio over in Detroit, and some other big names that are coming up, all playing really cool rock and roll radio and everything. So check out WTWW. But first, check out Ham Nation, because we're going to have a good show tonight.
Yeah, very good, Don. Very good. Well, I have had a lot of people ask me the last year, like, you've been a little squirrely, and where have you been? And why haven't you been around? And all these crazy questions that I've been getting. And there's a very serious reason why. Last year, just about 1 year ago, my sweet wife, Sarah, who actually owns Heil Sound. Yes, she does. I just invent stuff. She came down with cancer, multiple myeloma cancer. It was very strange. It's been a hell of a year for her, and I've been no more than 10 feet from her as much as possible. But she has successfully put it in remission. Of course, her and all the cancer doctors that live at the Siteman Cancer Center in St. Louis, what wonderful people. But here a couple of weeks ago, we got to go to the hospital, and this is what she got to do. You know, if you ring the bell, it's all over. Well, here she goes. She looks pretty good, let me tell you. She looks great.
She looks great.
She just to be able to handle all of this, let me tell you, it's been something. But our lives have been upended. But we'll start getting back to it. For some of you that wonder where I've been and how come I've been a little elusive and not here and there, that's why. But Sarah is doing great. And we're very blessed for all the prayers and concerns and emails and letters and cards. Thank you. So we're on to the next chapter in our lives, but that was the toughest one. Also, kind of in the same vein, I had some terrible news today. My friend, John Clemens, W0BD, he's the man that designed the CM1 Mosley. I've talked about it a lot. In fact, there's one up over my head. I've got three of them here. But this one kind of special because he signed it for me. Oh, gosh. This was it was back in 15. And these are prized possessions of mine because I bought that as it came off the line in 1962 at Mosley. I watched it being built. And I've had it all these years, and I found John about 5 years ago. You know that story because I've had him on here, and we did all of that, and he passed away, and we really pray for he and his family. And when the QST came out, I stopped to see him. He's real close to I-44, only a couple of blocks, so when I go back to our Illinois plant, I stop and see him. So won't be able to do that, but I will stop and see Joyce. They're wonderful people. And his daughter is also a ham, and I'll never forget it. He told me her call the first time after she got it. He says it's K0 peanut butter and jam. PNJ. So I won't forget it. John was really great. What a brilliant engineer. But I wanted to pay a little tribute to John because he's been quite something in the amateur radio circles behind the scenes. But then I had another thing that happened. I took out almost a week, and we were going out to the West Shum Farm where we do that vintage boat anchor thing every year, but I went a few days early. If you get QST, and if you don't, I'm going to ask you, why don't you? You really need to join the league. And on the field day, or in the field day issue, there was a great story about Cliff Cahart. And I knew this story, but here it was in print. Cliff is very active. He's 106, and he has a tremendous story about Iwo Jima. He was picked to go there to put up an antenna, and we're going to let him tell you. I have over an hour of video. We're not going to do it here tonight, but thanks to Victor, we picked out a few minutes, and let's listen to Cliff Cahart. 106 years old. Notice the 706 and Tokyo High Power behind him. He's on the air every day. Let's hear from him if we can, please, Vic.
Well, we're in South Carolina today, and I met a wonderful man, W4KKP, Cliff. Cliff, it's my honor to be with you.
My honor to be with you, too.
And what was your birthday? What was the last birthday? How many?
October 14th. I was 106, and I'll be 107 this coming October.
Wow. And you're still active on ham radio?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Look at all the cars. We'll have to show some of these in a little bit. Well, I'm so honored to be here. And one of the things I want to ask you, if you would like to talk about it at all, is you did a thing with a special antenna during the war, right?
Oh, yeah. That was rhombic antennas, very directional.
Yeah.
They are the triangular
right.
type things.
Uh-huh. You used this on Iwo, right?
That's right. And the three antennas, one was headed for the Pentagon directly. The other one... One of the others was San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
and the third one was China.
Uh-huh.
We were fighting with the Chinese at that time.
Right.
And then the communists came in, and we got out of there along with the Kanchai.
Wow.
Kanchai. Yeah. How do you pronounce it?
Saigon?
Saigon?
Okay. Chiang Kai-shek.
There you go. Yes.
And he created a new country.
Mm-hmm. But you were able to communicate with Washington when everything was...
Oh, yeah. The signals were good.
Yeah.
Even though the sunspot cycles were getting to be pretty bad. Not too bad at that time, mm-hmm. but they were sinking rapidly.
What I find interesting is they called upon an amateur radio operator to do that.
Oh, yeah. It's very interesting how I got that job. I don't know how much time you have, but since I was about 9 years old, I fell in love with radio. Some friends of mine put earphones on me. They weren't as good as these earphones. And I heard radio for the first time. And the Bell Laboratories, 10 miles from my home, they kept the transmitter going all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some of the guests from my hometown, opera singers and so on there. So I used that, but then I began to build radios.
Mm-hmm.
I was not a ham yet. I didn't know anything about ham radio. Right. But I laid on my belly, just a kid, and I studied every little bit I could find about radio.
And what year would that have been?
Oh, my, let's see now. Let me get this straight. There's so many things happened. That would be about 1920
mm-hmm.
when I got involved in
uh-huh.
building radios.
Yeah.
And I would be 9 years old
then. Oh.
So I built a lot of radios, all tuned RF. I had a gain capacitor in each one,
mm-hmm.
and I put a little regeneration in them, and I could listen to the West Coast with these radios. And I built one for my dad, one for my an uncle of mine, and one for an aunt, and anybody else wanted a radio, I'd build them for it, because nobody could build them and sell them commercially.
Uh-huh.
All the patents.
Oh, uh-huh.
So the government finally got smart, and they called in people like Stromberg, Carlson, Western Electric, Westinghouse, all the people that owned some of the patents that were to use in,
mm-hmm.
in radio. And they created RCA, Radio Corporation of America. They became the holders of all the patents, all these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wanted to build a radio and go into manufacturing them for sale, you would pay RCA a small royalty.
Uh-huh.
Wow. That's how it works.
Well, let me tell you, that was one fascinating day with him. And if you hear him on the air, please work him. And you won't forget some of the stories that he will tell you. But I had a delightful time. I thank you who drove me around and put all this together. And they have a great club there also. And that club is just unbelievable. They helped put his antennas up. He's at an assisted living place, but he's very active on ham radio. You go into these homes and you usually see pictures of their grandchildren or their kids. His room is, the whole thing's lined with QSL cards, and he's showing these things from all over the world, working it from there. So ham radio can be just a great thing for all of us. But I wanted to share some of these things with you, and I hope you enjoyed seeing and hearing from Cliff. He's something else. We will respect John Clemens and all of the things that W0BD did. And he was an aerospace engineer for McDonald, and we're all blessed that Sarah has come through a year of just tremendous fighting, but she made it. So that's pretty much my story, and now I get to hear a great story from Oklahoma. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys here tomorrow, too. And we're really proud of you. When you first came on the air, I thought maybe you left us all and became a news anchor somewhere. That's probably in the future. Valerie, how you doing?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was in radio. I'm working my way up, you know. Hey, everybody. And hey, Sarah, you look fantastic. Congratulations, Sarah, on ringing that bell. That's wonderful news. We've been praying for you this whole time, and I'm so glad to hear you're doing well. Yeah, we've kind of been on a little tour of the U.S. For those of you who don't know, Jerry and I came down for Ham Holiday, which is kind of a big convention. And Leah here, she's been our tour guide, and she's been showing us around. So, Leah, why don't you tell us a little bit about Ham Holiday and what the attendance and things were like?
Ham Holiday is sponsored by the Central Oklahoma Radio Amateurs, CORA, which I am the treasurer of. So I help put everything out and put the tables together and whatnot. And this year we had about 650 in attendance. We probably about average. We were up in attendance.
Wait. And then one other thing, just so you guys know, I know Bob and Don have both been keynote speakers there at the keynote banquet. It was a record. 109 people at the banquet. I think Don had 85. So,
nice. Nice.
Had to
Good.
Rub it
I'm
in,
proud of
Don.
You. Hey, no, I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you.
They actually had to put more tables out. They sold out and then some. So that was really good. And you know what? They have this really cool thing. She mentioned CORA. Why don't you just tell what CORA is kind of about? It's a way they kind of combine their ham clubs to have one big voice, right?
Yeah, CORA is obviously based in Central Oklahoma. We have about 8 clubs, give or take, that come together. We have about 3 reps that come together, and we make up the decisions of where we're going to have it at, get a speaker, food, tables, everything that puts it all together. And we meet 8 months out of the year.
They share expenses and everything.
Yeah,
well,
we have
not
one
just
account.
We not
one,
just yeah. for the Dayton. I mean, not just for Ham Holiday. They'll share their insurance together. You know, so a lot of these clubs may be struggling financially. This is one umbrella club that takes in all the clubs. So that's really a good idea for some of you clubs out there in other states to combine and have one CORA club. You know, that can help share in that. But that's pretty cool. I think the CORA idea is a great idea. And thank you so much for being such a good tour guide, too. And seated next to her is her husband, Donald, Whiskey 5 Delta Romeo Oscar. And he's actually the chief engineer here. And why don't you tell us a little bit about the station that we're at?
Yes, the station here, KFOR, was built a long time ago, way before me. But I had the privilege of building this brand new TV station that we are coming to you live from. And I run the technology department here, and I have 2 full-time, full-power TV stations, one transmitting at 43,000 watts with a total power out of 750,000 watts, and another one that's transmitting at 57,000 watts with a total power out of 1 megawatt.
That's 9 zeros. That's a lot of watts. Well, this is a great studio. We're here in the Weather Center. So hopefully they won't need to do it. Maybe I can spin the camera just a little and you can see the weather guy, Damon, over there. He's working on his 9 o'clock news broadcast. All right. And you guys know this guy in the end, Jerry, right? And he's been the driver and on this road trip with me. And how many miles we got logged so far?
We're over 2,000 right now.
All right.
And what do we got? 700 and some miles to get back home.
Yeah. So we've been
having a blast.
Yeah, we have. And we just love Oklahoma. You know, I kept thinking, you know, this is a great state. I really love it here. But let's move on to another great person we want to talk to. We tried to do this last week, but storms took him out of the game. But hopefully he's with us now. K3LR, are you there?
Hey, hello, Val. Hello, Jerry, Don, Leah. Nice to see
you.
Now,
for those of you who hopefully remember, I talked about WRTC, which is the Olympics of ham radio. Every 4 years, it moves from country to country. And Tim and Sandy, who you guys all know, DL1QQ from Germany, they were a team, Tim and Sandy. And boy, I was watching the leaderboards and you guys, and boy, you were giving it a good fight at the end. You must have moved up 10 spots the last 6 hours of that contest. So why don't you tell everybody about your adventure at WRTC, and I hope you have some great photos to go with it.
Well, we do, Val, and it was a great adventure, but it wasn't as great as Sarah Heil, and we're so happy, so proud of Sarah for hanging in there and conquering cancer. That is the most amazing story. But a few weeks ago, Sandy DL1QQ and I were on the team to participate at the World Radio Team Championship. And here was the sign-in sheet that was right at the front of the hotel. We were in Wittenberg, Germany, which was actually in the former East Germany. And you can see all of the folks that either were operating or were referees or were just attending to see all the happenings that signed the WRTC 2018 banner as they came in from all over the world. Go ahead, Victor. And here's Marty Lane talk about some of the celebrities, OH2BH, who has been all over the world. And there were hundreds of sponsors, individual sponsors, and then also corporate sponsors that helped pull together $750,000 to put on this event. And I'm very proud that DX Engineering was a gold sponsor, and along with Yaesu and ICOM and many other companies that helped put on WRTC 2018. And so here I arrived 2.5 weeks before WRTC. I brought all this equipment, 300 pounds of equipment, to put together our station. We had to bring everything but our tent and our antenna system. So here are I'm in the DL1QQ's apartment, and I took over the entire apartment and made it into a radio shop. So this is the kitchen table with all the cables, the Rig Expert analyzer, filters, computers, power supplies spread out. And now I'm going to get busy putting together the station so that once we get to the site, we can go really quick. And so I brought a copper sheet that I had mounted to a piece of plywood. And then I took this copper sheet, and Victor's going to show you how I put the filters on here. Here's the triplexer on the lower right-hand side that splits the tri-band spider beam into three bands, 20, 15, and 10 meters. And then there are the three bandpass filters. Here is the ferrite that is on top of the ICOM IC7610. There were two IC7610s that we used. The ferrite goes on top to make sure that all the RF is gone from all of the different cables. The computers, you can see the one Intel NUC that says Tim on it right there on the top of the screen. We had three of those NUCs, and those were the computers mounted on the back of the video monitors. And so here is the temporary station at Sandy's apartment. This is on her dining room table. We moved from the kitchen into the dining room, and here are the two stations side by side so that we could operate in full multi-two fashion, both operators sharing the antennas side by side with two computers, two radios, two power supplies, and this was the test setup on the dummy loads that I vetted out and made sure that everything was working perfectly. And here we are now back at WRTC, and I shot this photo. It was on the back of 9A1P, and he says, "We love this game," and how appropriate for radio sport contesting. And so here are the opening ceremonies, and I was on Team USA, and Sandy was on Team Germany, and she's got the Team Germany sign as we walk in for the opening of the World Radio Team Championship Games. So it's just like the Olympics, and it's very highly charged, lots of emotions. You can see us here with all the competitors from all over the world, over 30 countries represented here at WRTC. And so this is all the competitors up on stage. There's cheering and music. It is a phenomenal time. And here we are in some of the meetings. We were in meeting after meeting going over rules, going over making sure that everybody was on the same page. This is a very fair event. We want to make sure that everybody is playing by the same rules so that the outcome is all about who are the best operators. Here are the referees. Each team was assigned a referee so that that referee listened to all of the communications going on both radios for the entire 24 hours. A very, very, very tough job. And the competitors took an oath to obey the rules, and the referees took an oath to uphold the rules. So once you pick, and here's where we picked our envelope. Our envelope is given to the referee. Our referee was United Alpha 9 Mike Alpha from Russia. And this is Friday morning, just before the contest. And we are assigned a referee, and off we go to our assigned site. And here on Friday, July 13th, it was made known to the entire world that the special WRTC team call signs would be call signs starting with Yankee 8. And those were the call signs that were used 28 years before in East Germany. So it was very exciting to see these call signs dusted off. And then each one of the teams was assigned one of these call signs, although we were not allowed to know what the call sign was until 15 minutes before the start of the contest. And so here is the defending champions from 2014 in Boston. This is Dan N6MJ and Chris KL9A. They were the gold medal team in Boston, and they were defending their gold medal here in Wittenberg, Germany, and their referee was Juco OH1 Radio X-Ray. And here they are getting ready to go out to their site. And so we arrive at our site. It is 70 miles away from the hotel. And we have three amateurs that were in charge of our site. They were the site team. There was a site manager and two assistants. And you can see the WRTC 2018 sign. And then each tent was sponsored. I was very, very proud of the fact that our sponsored tent was from Michael Coulter, WHCI, who's the treasurer of the Dayton Amateur Radio Association, and he sponsored this tent in memory of his brother, David Coulter, who is now a Silent Key KB8OCP. And here's one of the three youth teams. Here's Bryant, the young ham of the year, and also Matias, CE2LR, from Chile, and they were one of the three youth teams, and they're getting ready to go out to their site. What an exciting time to see young Bryant. I don't think he slept the whole time he was there. He was so excited to be a part of WRTC 2018. Here's that filter board all wired up, ready to go. Now it's in the tent, and you can see the back of the tent. You can see the ground cables, the yellow and green cables, and all the wires that it takes to make this 100-watt multi-two station work. We're getting things hooked up. We arrived at the site on Friday afternoon. We had all day Friday to get everything ready so that we would be good to go. The contest started at 1200 Zulu on Saturday, but we had to get all the bugs worked out on Friday to make sure that we were going to start fast and finish strong. So here we are. Sandy's happy. I'm still nervous as all get out and making sure that the ICOM radios are all set. We're on generator power, and I want to check everything once, twice, three times, and make sure. So we worked some stations. We used our own call signs and got some signal reports. Also, a little reminder there. It says check 10 meters, check 15 meters. And we check those bands every one of the 24 hours during the contest. Here is the power monitor that goes on the back of the IC7610, that little box with the connectors on it to make sure that we're not running any more than 100 watts at any time. And the referee was looking at these LEDs right there, run one and run two. And as long as we had the green LED, that meant we were at 100 watts. If we had amber or red, that's a bad sign. So, and you can see the antenna switches there with the white lights on from Ham Plus and the Tim and Alex, and then the tuner for 80 meters. and then the checklist for 15 and 10 meters. The power supplies were all on the floor to make sure that they got lots of air. It's hot in Germany. Next slide. And the Honda generator was on for 24 hours, nonstop, no problems. And that's what powered us during the contest. And here is the water closet, the Job Johnny. And I can say in that 24-hour period, I was up for 4 minutes to use that. And Sandy never got out of her chair for 24 hours. She is a real trooper. Here's the rotor for the spider beam. Very ingenious. The rotor sat on the ground, and you can see that there's a mast inside the mast that allowed us to rotate the spider beam. The Germans that hosted this thing set up 70 stations in 3 days to be able to have all these field day style stations. And here's the inside rotor control, along with an atomic clock so that we could sync our clocks up in our computers, because we're not hooked to the internet. And here's the ground rod that was right outside that filter board. And so I had a very close ground connection, and they watered the ground rod twice a day to make sure that the ground rod was a good ground. Here's the spider beam, which worked four bands. Actually, there were three bands as part of the spider beam, 20, 15, and 10, along with a 40-meter rotatable dipole. And here's the center. You can see that 40-meter rotatable dipole. There was the right below the hub of the spider beam. So we got four bands on one antenna support structure, along with an 80-meter inverted V. The frequencies are different in Europe, and so we could operate SSB on 40 meters all the way down to 7050 and 14112. So I wanted to make sure that I had that right in my memory of where the CW and SSB bands were for Germany. And here we are with our keys. We're ready. A little mixer box so that the referee can listen in. We have our plan of what band we're going to be on at what time. And a little audio splitting so that the referee can listen in. And the referee's he's got his headphones along with his score collecting computer. The scores were sent to headquarters once a minute so that the live scoreboard would work. And here's our referee, UA9MA, very happy guy. And he was the only guy with a cell phone. We had over 40 visitors that came during the contest. Most of them couldn't get this close. This was the local newspaper so that they could record the event. They had out-of-town visitors in this village of 92 people. It was the biggest thing that's happened all year. And we had blankets because it got very cold at night, and our spare IC7600 there. So here we are, DL1QQ and K3LR. We're getting ready to start the contest. And here's our site team, Andy, and Axel. And Andy, the guy in the middle, he slept right outside the front door of the tent. He said, if you need anything at any time, you let me know, and I'm here for you. I'll get whatever you need. Again, thanks to Michael Coulter for sponsoring the tent. And David Coulter was a tremendous radio amateur. And we're sad that he became a silent key, but he lives on in the spirit of WRTC. And just before the contest kicks off, here is Barney, Cookie, and Dave, K3ZJ, two attorneys, and Cookie, who wished us luck and all the best. And Dave, K3ZJ, is writing a book about WRTC 2018. So look for that very soon. But it was great to see my good friends, Barney and Cookie. Our site team sitting right outside the doors, and making sure that if we need something, they're there to help. Great hospitality. Here we are in the middle of the contest. You can see Sandy off to the back. I'm in the front. We're both on single sideband. We got our microphones going, and we're going as fast as we can. And also, visitors from all over the world. This is Paul W0AIH along with Mary, and Paul is 84 years old. retired Lutheran minister, and Sandy had been a foreign exchange student in Minnesota during her senior year of high school and had operated from Paul Station. And Paul came all the way from Minnesota to Germany to see Sandy. What a great event. And it is the tremendous power of this hobby that you make some of the best friendships in the world. And so here is the medal ceremony with the winners from Lithuania in the center. To the left is the silver medals going to the German team. And then our United States team of Chris and Dan won the bronze medals. And here they are with their medals up on stage, closing ceremonies on Monday evening after the contest. And then Ward Silver, N0AX, brought some of the members of his band, and they were working by the numbers, also known as the Spurious Emissions. They had a light show, and here they were singing back at WRTC, which was great. All the lyrics up on stage, just like at Dayton at the Crown Plaza. So what a tremendous time, tremendous event. In 2022, that'll be the next WRTC, and it will be in northern Italy. So stay tuned for that, and it's going to be a great time, Val.
Well, congratulations. Sounds like you had a really fun time. Sounds like ICOM was well represented there. That's a good thing. And I think, 26th place out of 63 teams. And I was watching you. You were like in the mid-30s, and I watched you climb up there hoping you'd go all the way to the top 10. But good job, Tim. Lots of great slides. Also, Leah really quickly wants to mention something coming up this weekend here in Oklahoma City. So
this weekend is the YLRL Convention's first time. District 5 is hosting it. We'll be in beautiful downtown Oklahoma City for the next 3 days. So YLRLconvention.org.
Yeah, and it's at the Sheraton, and events start tomorrow, but it's not too late to show up. Things really get rolling on Friday, but that's all we've got for this week. So I'm going to pass it over to a message from our favorite radios and a lot of good people who pick those radios, looks like, for WRTC, and that's ICOM.
Heard it, worked it, logged it. It's time to get the transceiver that's best suited for your lifestyle. ICOM offers a variety of high-performance and innovative products. See how you can make the most out of contest season with these transceivers. The competitive edge you've been looking for, raise the bar and hear what others cannot with this flagship HF 50 MHz transceiver, the IC7851. Reciprocal mixing dynamic range, crystal clear local oscillator design, spectrum scope, dual receivers, and digital voice recorder. The IC7610 is the SDR every ham wants, and just in time for contesting season. This high-performance SDR has the ability to pick out the faintest signals, even in the presence of stronger adjacent signals. The new ICOM IC7610 is a direct sampling, software-defined radio that will change the world's definition of a SDR transceiver. RF direct sampling, 110 RMDR, independent dual receiver, dual digicell. IC7300 is changing the way entry-level HF is designed. This high-performance, innovative HF transceiver with a compact design will far exceed your expectations. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios.
And, of course, for more information about ICOM radios, you can check out ICOMAmerica.com/amateur. And that is also where you can enter to win ICOM's weekly drawing for ICOM swag, like T-shirts and hats. And don't forget, you can check out the details on ICOM's monthly grand prize drawing. It's the 51A plus 2. The ID 51A plus 2 is the radio that was for July. And now that we're in August, I want to congratulate Richard B., N4BC. He won that ID 51A plus 2, and we had so much fun giving that away. We're going to do it again for August. The August radio you can win is the ID 51A plus 2, jam-packed, full of features. Go to ICOMAmerica.com and check it out right there. And also go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. There you can find the official rules to check out all of ICOM's previous drawing winners. Sign up, and good luck. from ICOM and Ham Nation. Now let's go over to the left coast and see what Gordo's got up his sleeve.
Well, thanks, John. And we're here with Clint and Karen Bradford, and they're going to talk all about satellites and working the Easy FM satellite. Say hi, Kent and Karen.
Good afternoon, Ham Nation.
And there was Karen. You could hear her in the background. So, Victor, if you'll go ahead and roll it. Clint, we started out on a very hot day with an educational demo of working the EasySats. Go ahead, Clint.
We sure did. And we worked several FM voice contacts at Ham Jam at Ham Radio Outlet Anaheim 2 weekends ago. It wasn't a sales event. It was a educational event. And we captured some slow scan TV images as well as working a couple satellites. Thank you so much to KB6LTY Christy in Apple Valley for helping us out. She just for the first time told me last week that it was my presentation 10 years ago to her club that got her involved in amateur radio satellites. That makes me feel really, really old. We work easy satellites, CFM satellites, either 2-meter uplink, 440 downlink, or just the opposite. And here's how we did it. In the foreground, you see me working. I'm working full duplex. I have a headset on, so I make sure I'm not accidentally stepping on someone else. And there's another station, the gentleman in the white hat in the background. He has another station. He's using my elk antenna and just monitoring so the crowd can hear both sides of the conversation, but not loud enough audio for it to feed into my uplink. There is the Kenwood THD-72, which is a true full duplex radio, on the Elk Log Periodic, another wonderful satellite antenna. Yeah, it was 105 degrees outside, a wonderful day for a relaxing, nutritious bottle of Tang. Yeah, that makes me old. You can see my cue cards there on the end of my mast on the arrow antenna. Lets the groups know which bird we're working and the frequencies involved. This photo is courtesy of Josh, KI6NAZ, who shot a great 12-minute video. Look at YouTube channel Hoshnazi, Hoshnasi.
Now, Clint, sometimes it gets a little tough to hold on to that antenna for a long pass. What's your technique?
Well, although they're less than 4 pounds, holding it for 10 or 12 minutes, it does put a little stress on one's wrist, elbow, and shoulder. Ask any orthopedic surgeon. The addition of an ergonomic handle makes handling these antennas a breeze. You can turn left and right for polarization issues, and you recognize that. That really is a Stanley hacksaw handle, making life much more comfortable working with satellites.
That's great. Now, we also heard a great signal coming down from the International Space Station on that Ham Radio Outlet Day education program.
We certainly did. We had the second weekend of a planned 1 weekend, slow scan television from the Russian module. The first weekend, the photos were a little truncated. Can we switch to the next slide, please? And one more. There we go. If we go back, I'm sorry, Victor. There we are talking in Field Day 2014 was the last time we had voice simplex time with an astronaut.
Wow.
And there I am with an FT60 down to 2 watts. Why? Well, there's enough gain in that $10 little antenna there, that tape measure beam, to make it happen. You bet I applied for that QSL card and received it. That was great. One thing about the tape measure beams is that the elements are floppy. Well, mine aren't. If you can notice really on the top director at the top and the reflector on the bottom, I put quarter-inch wooden dowels across them, so gusts of wind are no problem with my tape measure beams.
No, it stood up great. And as I recall, it was back in the early 70s, I believe it was, 72, 82, 92, that we worked the space station.
Oh, it wasn't that long ago. It was 2012.
It seemed like the 70s.
And it was fun watching the Oshkosh event last week on Ham Nation because our ARISS, Amateur Radio Aboard the ISS contact, was at EAA, that's Experimental Aircraft Association, Chapter 1 at Flabob Airport. Our contact with kids earned us front page, full color, above the fold coverage in the 6th largest daily newspaper where our kids belonged.
That's true. And Joe, at the recent ham show in Nevada, president of AMSAT, was talking all about how to get more kids involved.
That's our future, Gordo. That's our future.
Wow, look at this shot. What's that, Kent?
Oh, that brings goosebumps every time I see it. That's Parkes 64-meter radio telescope supplying images to us during Apollo 11. Above it, a sight we will never see again. Still glinting in the sunlight and streaking right to left, just below the focus cabin there in the center, that's the space shuttle orbiter Atlantis. But it gets better. Look to the right. That is the International Space Station. They just separated 2 minutes ago. We'll never see that again without a U.S. space program.
Wow. And we sure hope that all of you listening and watching today will support AMSAT, because AMSAT has a lot of things going on, including the International Space Station.
Absolutely. And with no active shuttle program right now, we are getting some more, hopefully more equipment on board the ISS for us end of the year. And please remember, both AMSAT North America and ARISS are 501c3 organizations. Talk to your accountant for those benefits.
Now, when do you think, Clint, we're going to see some more schools taking part in the ISS, AISS program?
Gordo, it happens all the time. We've done, I believe, more than 1,300 contacts worldwide.
Wow, 1,300. That's a bunch, huh?
So let's watch ARISS.org for those opportunities. You can hear the downlink from the astronauts if the ISS is going over your area.
So, Clint, how about summarizing, putting it all together with all the goodies to work the easy FM sat?
Well, you need to know when and where the satellite will be passing. These are sun synchronous. They're going to be north to south or south to north passes. You need to know the elevation off the horizon. And I have a couple satellite pass prediction software programs coming up, as well as some free online sources for you. Know your grid square, because many hams are working for awards and certificates.
Delta Mike 1-3.
Indeed, indeed. Here is AMSAT Droid free. As you can tell, it's free, and it's for Android smartphone users. Here is G-Predict. I use this at the HamFest and conventions. I run it off of a little Raspberry Pi 3, a wonderful free program. Nova for Windows, not currently supported by its author, but runs reliably on older versions of Windows. Some have it running on Windows 10 too. There's a huge user base to assist you with Nova for Windows. Satellite PC, SatPC 32, another beautiful program. And hey, if you're a member of AMSAT North America, you can get a discount on it.
Yeah, but maybe I just have a Mac.
Just a Mac? Well, there happens to be Mac Doppler Pro. And again, members of AMSAT North America can get a discount on it. For the iOS folks out there, either with an iPod Touch or your Apple iPhone, my go-to right now is GoSat Watch. All one word, written by a Canadian ham. It's a $10 great investment for satellites on your phone. And I promise you some free stuff, too. Check these sites out, heavensabove.com, n2yo.com. and amsat.org. Just plug in your grid square, the satellite you want to watch, or know when the future passes are, and there's free sources for you online.
Now, what about the radios? Do we have a big selection or a tight selection as to handhelds working the FM satellites?
It is a lot less expensive to use your existing HT and its good receiver, and maybe get a well-received, less expensive second unit as a transmitter. Because only right now the little Kenwood THD-72A is true full duplex for UHF-VHF and VHF-UHF. But look at these classic radio. There's the Icom 32A. There's one 10 feet away from me. I'm insanely jealous. Icom made that. That was a glorious radio. The FT-530 from Yaesu was a wonderful rig. Remember, it had that slide-in battery for the memory? You can use odd-split HTs or separate transmit and receive units.
So how do we make a contact, Clint, once we know?
You listen, keep the squelch open. It's going to be a little bit noisy. You monitor the downlink. If you don't hear it, don't transmit. But on the east and west coast, there's almost always others on the satellites, sideband birds too. We'll talk about them in a second. As you begin your career on the satellites, wait till you hear that slight dip in the background noise, then you'll start hearing some voices.
Wow, that's an interesting chart. What do we have?
This is a great page. AMSAT North America took over control of this. This is the live OSCAR status page. This is where fellow hams input whether or not they heard the satellite when they thought it was going to be there, or they didn't hear it when it was supposed to be there. And it's not only good for just hams, but for the control operators. When they change modes, this allows them to know whether or not that mode change took or not. Just input your call sign, your grid square, the satellite you work, the time of day, and you can help out fellow hams worldwide by going to the Live Oscar status page.
Now, we have four FM satellites. How many single sideband linear type satellites are out there?
Millions. No, excuse me. We have 12 to 14. There's a list here. And if you go to tinyurl.com/work-SSB, that'll point you to AMSAT North America's tutorials on getting started on SSB birds, AMSAT UK, and Gunter's site. You'll get used to that name. And some great articles to start working the sideband birds.
Well, I've heard many of your demos, and you certainly are the master of FM, but where can those go once they do FM for the longer range satellites, Clint?
Please go to that website, that tinyurl.com. That'll give you the AMSAT North America tutorial with frequency charts. If you'll notice on the frequency charts for the SSB birds, the transmit uplink is almost always lower sideband, so it makes sense the receive downlink is always on the upper sideband. And please use two radios when working with sideband birds so you can hear your downlink and not step on others' transmissions and cause interference. It's going to also help you find your in and out frequencies. Please be considerate, operate well, and listen.
So, Clint, one more time, the website for getting started in working the easy FM satellites like SO50, AO85, AO91, and AO92, and the International Space Station.
Well, it's all there at worksat.com, worksat.com. And in order of preference, AO91 is as close to AO51 in operation and ease of use as we've had. So AO91 is number one. AO92 changes modes every once in a while, so that's just an extra step in working it. Then SO50 and AO85, a little more finicky to get into. AO85 has a damaged antenna, but if it's going over you at 30, 40 degrees, you can still work it with 5 watts and a good gain antenna.
Well, Clint, I've seen so many of your great demonstrations. We so much appreciate you and Karen coming over today. And we will look forward to seeing you on the FM birds, or at least hear you on the FM birds soon. So, Victor, I'll let you go ahead and pass it on. And Karen, thank you for being here. Clint, thank you. Any last words, Clint?
Nope, just thanks for the invitation. Love being in your shack.
73, y'all. And Victor, back to you.
Hey, that is some good stuff, Gordo and Clint and everybody else. By the way, Clint, happy birthday. I saw on Facebook it's your birthday today, so happy birthday to you.
And also to Jerry Garcia.
That's right, and also to Mike Askins, KE5CXP, who is one of the Amateur Radio Newsline staff, and my best friend and brother from another mother that I've known since first grade. So speaking of Amateur Radio Newsline, since he's one of the voices, why don't we go ahead and get into the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2126, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, August 1st, 2018. The 2018 Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year is Bryant Rascal, KG5HVO.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, I'm speechless.
And that was the reaction of 14-year-old Bryant Rascal, KG5HVO, when he learned in a phone call that he was selected to receive the honor. Bryant says exposure as a young boy to walkie-talkies eventually led him to explore amateur radio. He says he joined the Boy Scouts and decided to take a life-changing merit badge.
I took the radio merit badge course, and the instructors made a contact to the Netherlands. That was like the coolest thing ever to me. Like, I really, really was shocked by that. So I decided that ham radio would be a cool thing to do.
So at the age of 11, Bryant studied for his technician license and earned his ticket in May 2015. By August, Bryant was a general and pursuing some contesting experiences thanks to his local club. He also entered the 2017 Dave Coulter Youth DX Essay Contest.
After the committee read my essay, they decided that they would invite me to go to Costa Rica with their DX group. So in August of 2017, I had the opportunity to go on a de-expedition to Costa Rica.
But there's more on the recent DX front.
I operated in the World Radio Sport Team Championship in Germany.
Bryant was the only youth competitor representing North America in the July event. We offer our warmest congratulations to Bryant and his family. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mark Abramovich, NT3V in Philadelphia.
There is so much more to this story, and you can hear the entire three-minute segment on this week's full Amateur Radio Newsline report. And Bryant Wilbur presented the award on Saturday, August 18th at the Huntsville Hamfest in Alabama, and we certainly hope you'll join us there. Also happening on August 18th, the International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend.
Kevin Victor Kilo 2 Charlie Echo, one of the organizers of the International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend, sent the following report to AR Newsline regarding the events that will take place in just 3 weeks' time. Almost right on schedule, the 300th entry for this year's event came in from Germany, and it's the lighthouse on the Westmühl Harbour Wall at Lindau on Lake Constance. Kevin told AR Newsline that he often gets 150 or more registrations in the last 3 weeks, sometimes as late as the weekend itself or even after the event. The record so far was in 2014, with 544 lights registered from 56 countries. This year's highly popular fun event takes place on the 18th to 19th of August. Full information and the online registration form are at illw.net. For AR Newsline, this has been Ed Durant, DD5LP, getting ready to do his own lighthouse activation in just 3 weeks' time.
A special event station operating at California's Sonoma County Fair has a special mission.
When the Sonoma County radio amateurs show up to do their radio demonstrations at the Sonoma County Fair on the 3rd and 4th of August in Santa Rosa, California, members will be keeping with an 8-year-old tradition of reaching out to the community and showing what ham radio can do. Operators will be on single sideband and 40, 20, and 10 meters, and also showing how to transmit in CW, APRS, and possibly satellite. Daryl Paul, KI6MSP, the club's outreach coordinator, said that the 186-member club has been growing steadily during the last few months, and this is yet another way to show what radio can do under emergency and non-emergency conditions. So, be listening for special event station K6P on both days between 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. local time. Yours might be the contact that impresses a potential newcomer. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at arnewsline.org. With Mark Abramovich, NT3V, Ed Durant, DD5LP, Paul Brown, WD9GCO, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Welbanks, AE5DW. 7-3, we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now, here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove.
We have a new active region that's rotating into Earth view off of the sun's east limb, and a stealthy solar storm is on its way to Earth. Will it be strong enough to impact us? Those stories and more in the news this week. Solar activity this week begins to get pretty interesting. We start with a stealthy solar storm that was launched starting around the southern polar region and which kind of spread to about half of the disk. We could see some various dimming regions on the disk that shows us how much of the sun was involved. Now, this storm is headed toward Earth, but it's moving very slowly, so we're not expecting much impact except at high latitudes. So you aurora photographers, you might start charging your batteries because you might get a chance at high latitudes. Now, amateur radio operators are also happy because we have a new active region that's rotating into Earth view now, and it's been firing off a few solar flares and a solar storm or so, even on the backside. So we're very happy about it. Yet it's not an M-flare player, and I doubt that it's going to be, but it will boost radio propagation here over the next few days, and it may keep the bands happy for a couple weeks. Switching to our M-flare threat meter, you can see the X-ray flux continues to be extremely low, and by proxy, this means the solar flux is also low. We're seeing some of the lowest numbers we have all cycle, and I know radio propagation is absolutely in the dumper this week, but we have a reprieve. There's a new region that's rotating into Earth view off of the sun's east limb, and this should cause the solar flux to slowly ramp up over the next couple of days. And what's nice is that this region looks strong enough that it will sustain that brightened solar flux easily over the next week. Now, I don't know if it's going to be strong enough to bump us up to marginal propagation conditions. It may still be at the top end of poor, but nonetheless, we should appreciate that little bump in solar flux to kind of get us through the next week, and then another region will rotate yet into Earth view. Switching to our solar storm conditions, you can see after we got hit by some mini solar storming back on the 20th and the 21st, things quieted down, but then we got hit by some sustained fast wind that was strong enough to bump us up to active conditions and bring Aurora down to mid-latitudes just for a short, brief moment. But it was nice. It lasted for a little bit more than a day before things began to quiet down, and since then, things have gotten quieter and quieter. That's the way it is at solar minimum, folks. But it looks like we do have that mini solar storm, kind of a stealthy, slow solar storm on its way. It could hit and bring Aurora to high latitudes again. I doubt it's going to bring us up to storm conditions, but you Aurora photographers at high latitudes, it might be worthwhile to kind of stay on your toes. Switching to our solar storm conditions and Aurora possibilities over the coming week. We're quiet right now, but we are anticipating the hit from that stealthy solar storm that's on its way to Earth. It should hit around late on August 1st into August 2nd, but we're expecting it to be kind of a gentle hit because this storm is so slow. At high latitudes, NOAA is expecting unsettled to active conditions with only about a 20% chance of a minor storm. At mid latitudes, we're expecting unsettled conditions with only a very small chance for a minor storm, because most likely if there's any aurora that's going to be seen at mid-latitudes, it's going to be very sporadic and very elusive, so it's going to be hard to catch. But storms like these that are very weak will actually help you GPS users at low latitudes because it helps to stabilize the upper atmosphere, so your GPS reception might just improve. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, everything is still in the green when it comes to solar flares. This new region that is rotating into Earth view, it is not an M-flare player, so we don't have any risk for radio blackouts, which should make amateur radio operators and GPS users very happy. On the other side, it is strong enough to boost the solar flux. NOAA is thinking that we're going to go into marginal propagation conditions again, starting in a few days as that solar flux continues to rise. And what's nice is if this region continues to stay active, we should remain at marginal easily over the next week. So space weather this week is getting very interesting. We have that stealthy solar storm that's on its way to Earth now, and it's going to be a gentle hit, so we only expect aurora at like high latitudes. Maybe too difficult to see it at mid-latitudes, but nonetheless, aurora photographers, you might consider charging your batteries. Now, amateur radio operators are also happy this week with this new region that's rotating into Earth view, and it's been firing off a few solar flares and even a small solar storm. So this should actually be boosting our solar flux here over the next couple days, back into the marginal levels for radio propagation, and if it's strong enough, these conditions will continue easily over the next week. And now you GPS operators, you should also be pretty happy because this weak solar storm is not likely going to be strong enough to disrupt you all that much. And those of you at low latitudes might actually benefit and get cleaner reception as the storm stabilizes the upper atmosphere. As far as the rest of you at high latitudes using GPS, well, as long as you stay away from the dawn dusk terminators and away from aurora, you should be looking pretty good. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Oh, awesome stuff, Dr. T. WX6SWW is her call sign. Weather 6 Space Weather Woman, the easiest way to remember that. She's in Belgium, did that on her smartphone. So thanks to her for filing the report while she's out traveling for business. We mentioned in Amateur Radio Newsline about the Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award. Well, the winner this year is on with us right now, and that is KG5HVO. Bryant Rascal, how are you doing? Man, it's good to see your face live again. It's been a while. How are you?
I'm doing good, Mr. Don. It's good to see you also. Thank you for having me here on Ham Nation. It's great to be back.
Well, it's good to have you. Hey, it's a sharp looking hat. You had to go all the way to Germany to get that. Congratulations. I want you to tell me a little bit about what your experiences were over at WRTC, because that's just an amazing experience for anyone, let alone someone of your age.
Well, I was selected to compete in the World Radio Sport Team Championship in Wittenberg, Germany. Don, I have to tell you, there is so much to say about the whole experience. At times, it was like a never-ending party full of ham radio contesters and a huge ham reunion. At other times, it felt like a crash course of extreme contesting and sort of like an amplified contest university. And at other times, it felt like stealthy mind games were being played with the competitors amongst each other about who was going to use what equipment and who was going to have what type of operating strategy during the competition. So it was very unique. Truly, I felt puffed up and humbled from one moment to the next. We were treated like rock stars the entire event. And for me personally, being the youngest competitor in the competition, to be around the world's best contesters was a unique experience by itself. Just to hear tips and tricks from the world's best and hear their stories and learn from them was a great experience that I really can't trade for anything. This is a worldwide competition that is held every 4 years, like the Olympics, where the world's top operators compete to find out who is the best under the same conditions, much like Tim K3LR talked about. My team leader, Matthias C2LR, and I competed in field day-like conditions. We were in a tent with a generator and in the middle of some farmland in eastern Germany. Radio propagation during the contest itself was fabulous. We had just some fabulous, fabulous conditions that I never expected. So I hope that answers your question.
It does. Now, I want to switch over to Young Ham of the Year a little bit. Now, how long have you been a ham? Because I remember meeting you at the Hammond, Louisiana Ham Fest, not long, probably within a year or so after you had been licensed. When did you first get your license?
I was licensed at the age of 11 in 2015.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's when we met, you and I at Hammond in 2015. So it's yes. been so cool to watch you grow up, not only as a person, but also as a radio amateur, and how fast you have gotten into the elite. And I mean, seriously, to be doing WRTC, period, doesn't matter how old you are or how long you've been a ham, to be invited to compete in WRTC is an amazing accomplishment for anybody, let alone a teenage ham who's been a ham less than 5 years. Just absolutely incredible. So congratulations on that. But I want to get your what it felt like to get that phone call from Mark Abramovich, NT3V, who is the Young Ham of the Year chairman for Amateur Radio Newsline. What was going through your head when he gave you the news that you were indeed this year's Young Ham of the Year?
I was really surprised, just knowing how many other quality young hams there are in North America. I really didn't expect to be given this award, and I'm really humbled and honored to be the recipient of this award. It is just a result of the great work and guidance and help from my many great Elmers.
Yeah, not the least of which, of course, is your mom. I mean, she homeschools you. Is that correct?
Yes, she does homeschool me, and I am very fortunate to have my mom as my teacher. Yeah. And I am actually allowed to get on the radio during school time. On Wednesdays, there are like these little CW contests that are really good for training CW contesters. And I'll get on every morning and afternoon and mess around in these contests while taking a study break. So I'm very blessed to have her.
Yeah. And she got her license after a trip to Dayton, didn't she? She's licensed now, right?
Yes, she is. Her call sign is KG5TQO, the Queen Operator. she hasn't. Yes, I've tried to get her on the air a little bit, although she's been a little bit busy. I got her on 10 meters one day in the spring, and she made a contact to Brazil, so that was really special.
Oh, Very cool. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing her and you and whoever else you're bringing with you to Huntsville coming up on the 18th of this month as we're going to present you the award. Well, Brian, just congratulations. I can't be more proud. I want to tell you a little bit of inside baseball. We normally don't make these details too public, but I will tell you that the judging committee told me that this was a large group of nominees this year, larger than we've had in a while. And also something happened that is fairly rare in that the decision to choose you as Young Ham of the Year was a unanimous one. So you're to be congratulated doubly for that. And within the first couple of times that I had been around you, I knew that at some point in time you would wind up on stage at Huntsville accepting the award. And I'm just honored as I can be to be the one that's going to hand that to you coming up here in a few weeks.
Well, thank you, Mr. Don. I'm very humbled to receive this award. Again, it's just the great result of the great guidance that my elders and mentors have given me over the past few years. I look forward to seeing you in Huntsville, and hopefully yeah. Tyler will be there. I'm not sure if he'll be in the Ham Talk Live mascot costume again.
Well, he will. He just got registered as a college freshman, so his first week of classes is actually the week before that weekend. So he's not going to be able to make it because he has classes Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and he's going to be working as well. So unfortunately, he's not going to make it. I think his Hamfest, distant Hamfest days are probably numbered until he gets done with college. But that's the important thing. You got to do the work before you can go in and do the play. That's for sure. But it's just, you're just an amazing young man, and I'm so happy that I am able to call you a friend. It's so cool. I think you're the first Young Ham of the Year that I've known have met before they were actually awarded. So to be up there with a friend. No, I take that back. Marty Sulloway last year. I knew him before as well. So. But it's going to be cool to stand up there with a friend and someone that I actually knew before. So I'm so looking forward to being at Huntsville with you and your mom and everybody else. So, again, congratulations, Bryant Rascal, KG5HVO, the 2018 Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Memorial Young Ham of the Year. And we will see you in Huntsville on the 18th.
Sounds good. We'll see you there. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Bryant. Very good. Congratulations to Bryant. And that Hamfest is, of course, the Huntsville, Alabama Hamfest. Hamfest.org is the website. Go to that. You'll find out all the information you need to know. It's a great Hamfest. One of the best ones, I think, that I would easily say it's my favorite Hamfest, even including Dayton. I think I like Huntsville better. I really, really enjoy that Hamfest. I want to tell you about another Hamfest that's coming up. It's actually this weekend, Sunday, August 5th. This is in Berryville, Virginia. It's the 68th annual Berryville Hamfest and Computer Electronics Show. And this is no little Hamfest. They had 1,500 attendees last year, 239 tailgaters. They had 96 inside tables with 24 vendors. So pretty good size Hamfest presented by the Shenandoah Valley Amateur Radio Club. Gates open at 6 a.m. Vendor buildings open at 8. $10 to get in. Kids under 16 free. If you want to tailgate, an additional 10 commercial and indoor tables. Country ham and eggs breakfast at 7 a.m. All kinds of cool things. Grand prizes include an HF rig, a VHF rig, a power supply, hourly drawings. There's a county park with a pool, picnic area, playground opposite the Ham Fest. Just all kinds of cool things. VE exams as well. The 68th annual Berryville Ham Fest and Computer Electronics Show in Berryville, Virginia, the Clark County Ruritan Fairgrounds. That is coming up this Sunday, August 5th. I'm looking for a website. I don't see a website to point you there, but just do a Google search for it. I'm sure it's on the ARRL website, and you'll be able to find out everything you need to know. The Shenandoah Valley Amateur Radio Club. So there you go. I am wrapping it up is from what I've heard in my ear right now. Apparently, Bob's connection has disconnected, so we'll go ahead and do that now. Amanda is out doing Amanda things, and George is out visiting family. So it's just there's Gordon. Gordon's still here. Gordon, do you have anything you'd like to add to the festivities here before we wrap it up?
Wow, congratulations to Bryant. He's going to have such a career in electronics thanks to ham radio. This Sunday, also in Piatone, Illinois, and I sure hope I'm saying that correct, is the Piatone's largest ham fest, Sunday, August 5th, at the Will County Fairgrounds. So be there or be square. Sure good to see all of you. Don, back to you.
Thank you, Gordon. Always always lovely to see you. And Bob Heil's going to be at Huntsville as well, so looking forward to seeing him. And Sarah, we love you so much. We're so happy that that you've got your health back. And many, many more years of keeping Mr. Heil in line. There she is, ringing the bell.
Hooray, oh, man. Sarah.
She is one of my absolute favorite people. The last time that Bob was, this is so funny, Gordon. The last time that Bob was at Huntsville, I walked in on Friday. They were in the process of setting up, and he's on his iPhone, and he's standing there, and he sees me coming, and he goes, oh, geez, hang on a sec here. Talk to your boyfriend, and hands me the phone, and it's Sarah. So I just love that lady to death. She's just the sweetest. So, Sarah, we love you, and we're so happy for you. So, Amanda's not here, so no chat room tonight. But you know where the Nets are. They're in the usual places. So go out and support the After Show Nets. We're horribly late, so let's go ahead and wrap this up. And for Gordon West and everybody else that's been on tonight, Valerie and Tim Duffy and everybody else, we'll thank you for joining us here tonight. We'll see you again next Wednesday night right here on Twitch. So 7-3 from all of us here at Ham Nation. We'll see you later.